Please take your Bibles this evening and turn to Hosea chapter 8. It's been a little bit of time since we've been in the book of Hosea, but I guess you got a full dosage of it one Sunday a few weeks back, so hopefully that did it for a while. Hosea 8, we're going to read four verses tonight. First four verses of Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. All right, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have trespassed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off." We find Israel living in really a time of apostasy. They had departed from the faith that had been delivered to them. They had gone their own direction. They had done their own bidding. And now God, speaking to Hosea, in the first verse, really gives the response of God's man or God's people in the time of apostasy. And he says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth." Really, he is warning Israel of what is going to take place because of the pathway that they have chosen to follow. All right, when you think of a trumpet, you think of something clear, you think of something distinct, you think of volume. You know, you just heard a trumpet tonight. Something really sending out the warning call. And God tells Hosea, all right, people are departing from me, they're going their own direction. It's not a time to kind of sit idly by, to be quiet, to not say anything because no one's going to appreciate it. He says, "Set the trumpet to your mouth. Make the warning call. Judgment is coming." You know, we live in a day of apostasy today. It's not time for us to be quiet. It's not time for us to kind of hunker down into our own little house and not say anything. All right, it's time to put the trumpet to our mouths and sound the alarm. Something alarming is going to take place. And here we find the destruction that was going to come was going to be something that was going to be swift. It's going to be fast. Right? He uses the illustration here of an eagle. If you have ever seen a bird swoop down to get its prey, you know, it's fast. You know, you see birds flying and sometimes it looks fast, but you know, one of the fastest, really the fastest an animal goes probably in the animal world, might we say, is a bird swooping down to get its prey. You know, you think of it, sees that fish in the water and it can swoop down that fast. I mean, maybe not that fast, but it has to swoop down so fast so it can get that fish before it's gone. And that's fast. And God says here, your enemy is going to come upon you, shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. And here, using the house of the Lord really to illustrate as a figure of speech here for the people of Israel. In when God is talking to Moses, and or actually Miriam and Aaron about Moses, they were complaining against him, and God said Moses was faithful in all mine house. Here it says here, because they have an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. All right, they had gone against the authority of God in their life. They had broken, they had transgressed his covenant. They had trespassed. They had gone outside here of God's law, living their own lives. And so now Hosea is prophesying judgment is going to come. What's the people's response? Verse 2. We see here this casual relationship that they have with God. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. You're not going to do this to the people that you know. I mean, we know you, God. You are our God. But really, in reality, he was not. This is just a casual relationship they had with God. You know, in times of apostasy, people may want to say they know God, but really the extent of that knowledge of God is merely some type of casual relationship that is really based on convenience rather than commitment. And here Israel was going to conveniently know God when it maybe worked to their benefit, but there was no commitment behind this relationship with God. So we find here this is a relationship based on convenience rather than commitment. I mean, judgment is coming. We want to try to avoid this. So what do? Well, they cry out, God, we know you. We find here it was a relationship based, you know, this casual relationship based on their terms rather than on God's terms. You know, people today, they want to meet with God on their own terms rather than coming to God on his terms. And then destruction comes, judgment comes from God, and they're thinking, oh, what's happening here? You know, I thought I knew God. I thought I was living for him. Well, it was on your terms. You know, not on God's terms. And Israel's crying out, we know thee, God. We find it's a relationship, really, a casual relationship that is mouth-centered, might we put it that way, rather than heart-centered. Merely speaking the words, but it was not something that was in their hearts. You know, in Titus chapter 1, in verse 16, the Word of God states, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Now, what type of relationship do you have with God tonight? Is it merely something that you profess with your mouth, or is it something that is real in your heart? And the children of Israel, it was merely something that was with their mouth rather than something that was in their heart that was shown through their life. So we find here really a description of the apostate times that they lived in, that they had simply just a casual relationship with God, something based on their terms rather than God's terms, something based on convenience rather than commitment, something that was mouth-centered rather than centered in their heart. What had they broken? Notice verse 3. It says, Israel, well actually that was in verse 1, what they had broken. They have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. But notice what they had cast off. Verse 3, Israel hath cast off. The idea there with cast off is not just, you know, something they had set aside, but the idea behind there is something they have abhorred. They did not like it. Okay? It says they have cast off with abhorrence here. They've cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. All right, so there's during times of apostasy, there's a casual relationship with God, but there is a casting aside of God's goodness. When we cast God out of our life, what are we casting aside? Well, we are casting aside everything that is good in our lives. You know, you look at teenagers that become enamored with the world. You know, and they get tired of the, you know, rules and regulations, maybe that they might say in their own terms. and they start going after the world, what are they doing? Well, they're casting aside any goodness that could happen in their lives because they are putting God out of their lives. You know, God here is speaking to the children of Israel. They have cast off the thing that is good. They have abhorred that which is good. You know, I thought of having a couple cups of water, glasses of water up here. Could have a nice, you know, crystal clear glass of water and could have a muddy glass of water. You know, and maybe have a volunteer to come up here and choose which one they would drink. You know, I'm sure we wouldn't have anybody that would want to, you know, drink that muddy glass of water. You know, maybe I could throw some tadpoles or something in there. You know, mosquito larvae or something. And we would think the person is crazy. I guess it reminded me because there's this, you know, whole place at the mission house where it doesn't drain right. And, you know, and there's, went out through there, all sorts of tadpoles in there, and all there's little baby frogs, I think, that are hopping around over there. But maybe, you know, I guess it's good. Maybe they're eating all the insects. But anyways, you know, we would think somebody crazy if they're going to pick up that muddy glass of water. And, oh, I don't want that clean glass of water. Get rid of that. And I want this nice muddy glass of water. Reminds me of chocolate, you know. We think they're crazy, ridiculous, you know, but that's what we do when we set God aside in our lives and choose what the world is offering. We are setting aside that which is good to choose that which is reprehensible, to choose that which is abominable in God's sight. And God's looking at you, you have abhorred, you've cast off that which is good. God's good, you have laid aside God's goodness in your life. And you know, we have to recognize, young people, you need to recognize that when you choose to depart from God, you are also choosing to depart from the goodness of God. You know, those that went to Cambodia, they saw really a culture that has rejected God and really what it produces. You know, why in America do we have some really semblance of some, decency, I guess? I mean, why are people not all over in poverty? Well, there were some foundational principles that this nation was founded upon that we heard about last week. And thankfully, some of those are still in our society. But those countries that were not founded upon those principles operate in a very different way. Mindset. And you know, you look at the places in our country that are really departing from those principles. You know, take for instance the inner cities. What are they like? They're terrible. We've set aside God. We've set aside His goodness. It says Israel has cast off the thing that is good. Notice the result. The enemy shall pursue him. The enemy shall pursue him. They were casting out aside God and were inviting, in a sense, the enemy to come after him. You know, how many of you like to feel like you're always running from someone? You know, we don't like it when we feel like there's somebody pursuing after us. You know, maybe you're driving down the road and you constantly see a car behind you. You know, especially if you're a lady, you're going to start to feel a little insecure. What's going on here? You know, why is this car following me? No matter who you are. And you're being pursued by someone. Especially if you're in a dangerous situation. And Israel, God says, you're casting aside that which is good and now the enemy is going to pursue you. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, it says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His, and I'm quoting it a little bit, or before verse 5, but come before His presence with singing, know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that which hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name for the what? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. So what are we supposed to? We're supposed to serve him with gladness. Why? Because he is good. But yet Israel decided to depart from him. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 73, 28. But it is good for me to what? To draw near to God. You know, when we draw away from God and his goodness, where does that leave us? It leaves us in the camp of the enemy. And God said to Israel, the enemy is going to pursue you because you have chosen to abhor that which is good. Do you think it was an obvious choice? Do you think it was something that just all of a sudden came upon them? You know, are we just going to be standing here one day and all of a sudden say, oh boy, I want that glass of muddy water? Well, no, it's a gradual thing that takes place in our lives many times, where that muddy water becomes something we like. You know, it's like the old illustration of the frog in the hot water. You put him in the hot water, he jumps out again. Or you put him in the cold water and you gradually heat it up, and he doesn't realize what's happening to him. You know, as believers, are we becoming enamored by the things around us, so that we come to abhor that which is good and we cast aside God's goodness in our lives? So in times of apostasy, there's a casual relationship with God. There's a casting aside of God's goodness and his holiness for the filth of this world. But notice what takes place in verse 4. Notice the creating here of their own authority. It says, they have set up kings, but not by me. Now we find the starting of the nation of Israel, the divided kingdom. Obviously God said, all right, Jeroboam's going to rule over you. But really, if you look at that chapter closely, did the people come to God in the northern 10 tribes and say, okay, Lord, do you want us to separate from Judah? Lord, do you want us to make Jeroboam king? No, God knew what was going to happen, and he said what was going to happen, but the people just basically were doing what they wanted. And what did Jeroboam do? Well, he set up a false worship system that went through the whole nation, that lasted in the history of the nation of the northern 10 tribes, and really was the ruin of those 10 tribes. And it says, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. So we find they set up their own physical authority, their own human authority. But not only did they set up their own human authority, but they also set up their own spiritual authority, which was themselves. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols. And notice the result, that they may be cut off. Remember Hosea chapter 1. What God said was going to take place, that he was going to cast aside his people. They were no longer going to be his people. And notice whose decision it was. It was the nation of Israel. In times of apostasy, what do people do? They make their own authority in life. Why? Well, it's obvious. You know, they got to be comfortable. What does it say in 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 4? For some will not what? Endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, wanting their ears to be tickled with what they want to hear, rather than sounding the trumpet and telling them what they need to hear. And so the children of Israel here, the Israelites, had set up their own authority in their lives so they could do what they wanted to do and still be comfortable. You know, do you think this happens at all today? People making their own authority so that they can feel comfortable? You know, unfortunately, that's one of the negatives of having so many different stripes of churches out there. You know, people can just kind of choose the one that what? That fits them. You know, find the church that fits you instead of, you know, finding a church that fits the Bible. And people want to set up their own authority and do their own thing, so they're going to find a church that fits them. You know, we have to realize we live in a very, you know, individual, humanistic society today that is centered on what pleases us. What pleases you? You know, make your own choice. You know, decide for yourself. Well, it seems like we have that all over the place. You know, we were making the PowerPoint presentation last week, and we are giving all these quotes that many of the founders had made. And one of the things I did not want to say was, and I can't remember the exact wording, but okay, here's the founders and what they said. Now you decide for yourself. You know what? You know they were about if our nation's Christian or things like that. Well, you know, why? We live in this society that, okay, here, now decide for yourself. No, you can't decide for yourself. The decision's been made about what our nation was, and you better fit your thinking into the decision that's always already been made instead of just deciding for yourself. You know, we live in this nation that, oh, decide for yourself, make your own choice. Well, guess what? Many of these decisions, they've already been made, and the outcome has already been determined. And you can decide for yourself, so to speak, but you have to realize that you're not deciding for yourself because the decision has already been made as to what is going to happen when you make that decision. So you might be thinking you're deciding for yourself, but you're not because the decision's already been made. And the outcome has already been predetermined. So along with your deciding for yourself, you have to realize there is a bag full of consequences that you're deciding for as well. Notice what it says here. It says, of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, and notice the result, that they may be what? Cut off. And God said, you are making this decision, but it is going to result in the cutting off of yourself as a nation. And it's going to happen swiftly, and it's going to take place quickly. As an eagle. You know, did it happen right away? No. But when it happened what? It happened fast. You know, sometimes people think, oh, I'm floating along, I'm doing okay. You know, judgment isn't coming. And then sometimes it takes place. And the deterioration has already been happening. You know, but when that wall collapses, it what? It happens quickly. You know, you think of a wall in a house. You know, maybe that bridge that collapsed, that unfortunate situation, that bridge between, I think it was Minnesota and going over the Mississippi River, was that highway, can't remember the exact highway, but 35. And, well, what was it? There was a weakness there. Did anybody see it coming? I think they may have had some reports. I don't know everything that happened. But when it happened what? It happened fast. Now, there was a problem, you know, with the bridge that took place. But when the destruction happened, how did it happen? Boom, just like that. You know, many times in our lives spiritually, yeah, there are weaknesses that are happening there. But just like a wall when it comes down. You know, it can be standing there. It can look like, oh, that's going to last for a long time. But that judgment, many times when it comes, it happens so quickly. You know, he's saying, God tells Hosea, cry aloud. He said, in this verse says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. Make the warning clear. You know, as believers tonight, are we sending out the warning call? Are we just fitting our lives in with what's happening around us? Or worse yet, are we those that are taking part of the casting aside of the way of God so we can partake of the pleasures of sin, which are only for a season, whose consequences have already been predetermined and will wreak destruction in our lives? Do you have a casual relationship with God tonight? Or is it a real relationship from your heart of commitment to God? No matter where the winds of time are blowing, that relationship with God is what is important. You know, Israel wanted their own way. They wanted their own authority. But because of it, they were going to be cut off. And they had separated themselves from the blessing and goodness of God. You know, God desires to bless His people. You know, God is not a God up there trying to look down upon us and see how many terrible things He can send into our lives. God loves us. He desires to bless us. But we must enter into that relationship with Him, which requires submission to His authority in our lives so that we can experience the goodness of walking with our God. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word that You've given to us. And Lord, may You forgive us for how many times we become enamored with the things of this world. Like the song says, I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. But Lord, may our heart cry be, or as it says, but Jesus, draw Thou near and shield my soul from sin. Lord, tonight, may we see the apostasy around us. And instead of us sinking into our own hole, Lord, may we stand up, may we put the trumpet to our mouths so that we can send out the warning call, Lord, and rescue people, Lord, before the wall collapses. Lord, I pray tonight that there are believers here that have begun to cast aside Your goodness, that they would recognize, that they would see, Lord, the destruction that is going to come into their lives because they have cast aside that which is good. Lord, I pray that if there are young people tonight that have become enamored with the world, that they would see, Lord, the outcome. That they would be able to recognize and have discernment about where it is going to lead them. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, are you sounding the alarm? Have you set the trumpet to your mouth? You know, to stand up and play a trumpet, you got to blow. You got to put forth energy. You got to be willing to possibly make a mistake. You know, I wonder tonight, are you willing to step forward for God and sound the alarm? Put the trumpet to your mouth? I wonder tonight, is God speaking to your heart about the fact that you only have a casual relationship with God? with God, it's have been lacking the depth. And because of that, you have not been experiencing the goodness of God in your life. I hope tonight that you allow the Spirit of God to mold and impact your heart tonight. Wonder tonight, have you experienced real saving faith in your life? Do you say you know God, but you know down deep inside your heart that there is not that real relationship with Him? Is there anyone tonight say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord is speaking to my heart about the fact that I need real salvation tonight. I need to really know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord is speaking to your heart about your need of salvation. All right, you can put those hands down. All right, let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would work in our lives. Help us. To see your goodness. Help us to see, Lord, that your authority is meant for our own good. Lord, may we bring our lives under it so that we might honor and glorify you in a greater way. We pray in Christ's name.